in this contest, we have a right to appeal to all honest men to support us, without regard to what their political affiliations may have been in the past. The powers that pray are united against us. The powers that pray pay no heed to a question of partisanship in this contest. Some of them may individually prefer Mr. Wilson to Mr. Taft. Others may prefer Mr. Taft to Mr. Wilson. But the preference for either is tepid compared to the intensity of their animosity toward us and their willingness to stand by either of the other two candidates or by anyone else if only they can beat the Progressive Party. The reason is evident. These men, the big bosses of the political field, the beneficiaries of privilege in the field of industry, the men who represent that sinister alliance between crooked politics and crooked business, which has done more than anything else for the corruption of American life, are united as one man against the genuine rule of the people themselves. The privileged classes, the representatives of special privilege, of special interest, can always make terms with a boss or bosses. They can make terms with the bosses who dominate the Republican Party. They can make terms with the bosses who dominate the Democratic Party. But they can't make terms with the people. They can't make terms with the men who honestly and genuinely represent the popular will. The attitude of our opponents has been well shown by the alliance between Messrs. Penrose and Archbold. You may remember that the other day, Senator Penrose of Pennsylvania and Mr. Archbold of the Standard Oil Company appeared before a Senate committee to testify against me. That is, nominally, they were to testify against me. Really, they were testifying against Mr. Cornelius Bliss, who is dead. Mr. Bliss was the treasurer of the Republican National Committee during the lifetime of President McKinley, and he continued in that position until after 1904, when I ran for president. He lived for 7 years after the event as to which these two men have testified. While he lived, they never dared open their mouths against him. But now he is dead, and the two valiant souls come forward to bear witness against the dead man. What was really interesting in their testimony, however, was the sidelight it cast on their own motives and standards of propriety, and incidentally, an unwitting tribute to the attitude of my administration. If you will turn to page 133 of the record, you can get the record, I will say incidentally, from your senator, unless he's a stand-up senator, in which case you probably can't get it from him. If you will turn to page 133 of the record, you will find where Mr. Archbold says, substantially, Dorcas Abyssinia can show nothing to compare with the treatment administered to the Standard Oil Corporation during the administration of President Wilson. In this instance, Mr. Archbold is testifying to what is quite correct. I did administer the Abyssinian treatment to the Standard Oil Corporation while I was president. I administered it because I thought the Standard Oil needed it. And if ever I am president again, and the Standard Oil or any other corporation acts as the Standard Oil then did, I'll administer the Abyssinian treatment to it again. That's why Mr. Archibald and Mr. Penrose are trying to beat me and to beat the progressive party. You may notice that Mr. Archibald doesn't complain that the present administration ever administered the Abyssinian treatment to the Standard Oil Company. Not a bit of it. Mr. Archibald has no fear that either the Democratic or the Republican parties, if successful at the next election, would administer the Abyssinian treatment to the Standard Oil Corporation or to any other of the big law-breaking trusts. Mr. Archibald knows that the Standard Oil could make it peace with, could come to an agreement with, the men who manage the Republican Party or the men who manage the Democratic Party. But he also knows that he could make no peace with the leaders of the Progressive Party, and he could make no peace with the Progressive Party itself, because it is in very fact the party of the people of the United States. Again, on the next page of the testimony, you will find where Mr. Bliss is quoted by Mr. Archibald as saying that he had no influence with me, that he could not stop my proceedings at the time when, as Mr. Archibald says, I was engaged in administering the Abyssinian treatment to the Standard Oil Corporation. Now, this statement of Mr. Archibald represents but part of the truth. Mr. Bliss did have real and great influence. I respected him and admired him. I should have paid heed to any request or suggestion he made, would have carefully considered it, and would have earnestly desired to do it, to adopt it, if I honorably could. But it is perfectly true that neither Mr. Bliss nor any other human being ever had any influence over me so far as concerned getting me to abandon the prosecution of any corporation or any individual engaged in wrongdoing. To this extent, Mr. Archibald's testimony is entirely true. And I call your attention to the fact that Mr. Archibald and Mr. Penrose come forward to testify against me only because at the moment I am heading the progressive movement. Were I a private citizen, it wouldn't enter their head to make any assault on me. They dislike me, I grant you. And the longer I live, the greater cause I shall give them to dislike me. But that isn't the fundamental motive that influences me. The fundamental motive that induces them to act as they have acted in this manner is not merely that they dislike me, but far more because they dread you. They dread you, the people. You and those like you who make up the people of the United States. They know that their time has come if once the people obtain real power. We stand for the rights of the people. We stand for the rights of the wage worker. We stand for his right to a living wage. We stand for the right and duty of the government to limit the hours of women in industry, to abolish child labor, to shape the conditions of life and living so that the average wage worker shall be able so to lead his own life and so to support his wife and his children that these children shall grow up into men and women fit for the exacting duties of American citizenship. The big trust magnate of the type of Mr. Archibald, the big politician of the old boss type, so well represented by Mr. Penrose, stand against the people. They object to the government being used primarily in the interest of the people themselves. Naturally, they will do all they can to break down the only real enemies that they have, and the only real champion, the only real and efficient champion of popular rights and of economic, social, and industrial justice.